Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
I don't think God's through with me. I really believe he thinks there's still some good things I can do.
We would like to tell the president to reconsider his position. 90% of the African-American vote went for him because he was American dream. He was a result of the civil rights movement. And just like he listened to the homosexuals, give us an ear.
Nicification happens when leaders and laity start assuming that our primary role is to be very nice, even at the expense of objective truth.
We have this crazy idea in the Missouri Synod that when pastors get a call, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is going to talk to them over the next couple weeks about what they're supposed to do or what God's telling them.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, several of our guests here on Issues Etc. have predicted in the past that the legal challenge to Prop 8, California's ban on same-sex marriage, would eventually make it to the Supreme Court, would eventually become, as some have called it, the Roe v. Wade of same-sex marriage. That means either deciding for the whole country in favor or against same-sex marriage in some sense. Where is it now? The story has changed a little bit in the last 24 hours. We're going to get an update on California's same-sex marriage ban, Prop 8, from Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be with us for about 10 minutes. Then Pastor Bill Swirla will join us for the remainder of the hour. We're going to talk about the predicament that is created by our culture of religious pluralism. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
It's sometimes difficult to follow these things for those of us who haven't been keeping careful score on Prop 8. Where does the legal challenge to the same-sex marriage ban in California stand as of today?
Well, we just heard back from the Ninth Circuit Court that they are not going to rehear the case. Now, what had happened was that it was a panel of three judges who overturned Proposition 8, or who basically sustained Judge Walker's decision to overturn Prop 8. So that was just a panel of three of the judges on the Ninth Circuit. And so we had requested, that is to say the proponents of Proposition 8, that is to say the voters of California who voted in favor of Proposition 8, 7 million of them, over 7 million of them, requested that the entire Ninth Circuit hear the case, which is to say that instead of it just being a panel, that everybody on the circuit would be involved in the decision making. They refused that request, and so now the last place, the final place that it will go, will be to the U.S. Supreme Court. And you ask what the scorecard is. Well, we have now another three judges who have gone on record as saying that this is a travesty to be overturning the will of the people without even another hearing. You know, that several of the judges basically said, you're taking a very tortured reading of one of the precedents, and this is not a fair reading at all of the precedents to be overturning Proposition 8. And so they were saying that we absolutely should be hearing it again. We have now three more dissenting judges weighing in on this and refusing to go along with the crowd.
Now, the Supreme Court, I'm no legal scholar, but the Supreme Court can say no. We're not interested in hearing this case. What would that mean?
Well, if the Supreme Court said they don't want to hear the case, then I guess that what that means is that it, Prop 8 would be overturned. You know, that would be the last case standing would be the case that would prevail. So that would mean they would overturn Prop 8. Now, the one kind of interesting twist in this thing is that Judge Reinhart, when he wrote the opinion for the Ninth Circuit panel, he wrote a decision that was really pretty specific to the particular circumstances of California. And so if that stands, it's not clear that that would create a federal precedent for same-sex marriage across the entire country, because it specifically said, well, because same-sex couples had once had an opportunity to marry and now Prop 8 took that away, that was the reason it was in violation of the federal constitution. So it's not clear. So that point would probably then have to be litigated, even if the Supreme Court refuses to take this particular case.
If the Supreme Court decides to take this case, what are we looking at?
Well, you know, from the very beginning, I have heard people on both sides of this case say the following thing, Todd, that there are four votes securely in favor of redefining marriage and radicalizing the definition of marriage, and there are four votes on the court securely in favor of resisting the claim that same-sex marriage is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. And so the whole thing will hinge on what Justice Anthony Kennedy decides. And so from the very beginning, on both sides, people have pitched their arguments to what they believe will be persuasive to Judge Anthony Kennedy. From the very beginning of this litigation, pro and con, Prop 8, I've heard attorneys on both sides saying, our ultimate audience is not the judge we're standing in front of today, and we really don't care about the press. We sort of care, but we don't really care about the press. What we really care about is what will Justice Anthony Kennedy say. So in the end, it comes down to Justice Anthony Kennedy and what kind of mood he's in, or what strikes him, or what appeals to him, which is really, when you think about the fate of a social institution that predates every known political system in existence on Earth today, that it should hinge on the opinion of one man is really quite appalling, actually.
If they heard the case and Kennedy were to decide for the redefinition of marriage, what would that mean federally?
Well, assuming that they find the following, okay, there's two possible things they could find. They could find that, the federal constitution guarantees a right to same-sex marriage, that same-sex couples are protected under the federal constitution. If they find that broad ruling, that would be the equivalent of Roe versus Wade, declaring that all the laws all across the land to the contrary are completely invalid. Okay, and overturning the definition of marriage in every state, you would have same-sex so-called marriage, same-sex unions would be treated the legal equivalent of marriage in every state of the union. The only possible different conclusion they could come to would be to uphold Judge Reinhart's opinion as it applies particularly and only to California and say that that was a correct ruling, but leave it as an open question whether a place like North Carolina, which has never had same-sex marriage or anything remotely like it, whether they are in fact required to change their definition of marriage. They could leave that as an open question. If they did that, it'd be kind of a mess, but I would not even begin to hazard a guess as to what they would do, as to what the court's going to do.
Real quickly, there's a story out of New Mexico about the New Mexico Court of Appeals that has upheld a ruling by a state civil rights commission that a Christian photographer who had refused to take pictures of a gay couple's commitment ceremony violated the state's discrimination law, $7,000 in fine accrue to the photographer. What's your reaction to this story with a few minutes?
Well, my reaction is thank goodness for the Alliance Defense Fund and the Alliance Defending Freedom, because they are going to take that as far as they can possibly take it. They've pledged to take that all the way to the Supreme Court because, you know, honestly, what that ruling is saying is that there is no place for religious liberty in the public square. You're allowed to believe whatever you want to believe as long as you keep it inside the church. But if you're out in business, if you're out in public, the right to sexual behavior and a social approval of your sexual behavior is more significant and more important and has higher constitutional protection than your right to believe in your religion and practice your religion and behave in accordance with your religion. So basically we're saying that behaving on sexual impulse is of more value constitutionally than behaving in accordance with your deeply held religious convictions. And so I certainly hope that this does not stand, because it takes the First Amendment and basically stands it on its head.
And as a business, basically saying you can't refuse a job even if you have personal moral and religious objections to what that would entail for you.
Yes.
About 30 seconds.
Yes, that's exactly what it's saying, that every business is a public accommodation, and therefore every business has to serve every customer regardless. And the obvious point about this is that the women who went in there wanting their picture taken for their commitment ceremony could have gone to any of a number of photographers and had no problem whatsoever. What this means is that religious businesses are going to be targeted by people who want to make trouble for them, and who want to either press their point or try to get damages or things like that. So you can run, but you can't hide if this kind of thing goes through. It's a dark day for religious liberty, really.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. The Ruth Institute has a great conference coming up July the 26th through the 29th called It Takes a Family to Raise a Village in San Diego. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc., we're going to spend talking about religious pluralism. And this is exactly how many in America today view their beliefs, how you assemble a body of beliefs, a belief system, if you will. You pick and choose from the great variety of options that are out there. You like a little bit of what Buddhism says, so you take that. You like a little bit of what Islam may say, just a little bit. Some more of what Christianity may say. You throw in something that you just made up yourself, and you have a religious system. We'll find out the dangers of religious pluralism with Pastor Bill Swirla after this. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.